It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone. I'm Allura, and welcome to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we'll be discussing remote viewing and remote influencing with our special guest, Gerald O'Donnell. Please join me in welcoming my co-host, starting with Maureen Holleran. How are you, Maureen?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so very much. And I'm glad to
go on. I'm sorry. You're in a funny mood tonight, I noticed, so that's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's crazy fun. I have a crazy good mood.
would you like to introduce yourself and what you do for everybody?
Oh, yes, I would. Okay. Just a thing. I say tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. I utilize the tarot. I don't use it all the time. Well, I don't need to read them, but I have a relationship with them for the past 25 years. And I have I'm a published author from 1988. That was a long time ago. Also, I'm very objective with my readings, and I addressed things. Every negative can be a positive. If I pick up on something negative, we have a choice. It's not that everything I say will be exactly how it should be, because a negative can be a positive. And I pick up on, I'm a visionary, I'm sensitive. I have all the C stuff going on. I'm not going to name them because we know that could go on forever. And so, you know, sometimes and I help people help themselves. And I get a lot back from the readings I give. I really do get a lot back that helps my personal well-being. There you have it.
I love that. Yeah, that's a good point. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Laura. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Would you like to tell everybody what you do?
Not much today.
That's unusual.
I know. I think it's my first day off this year. I'm a psychic medium. I give readings on PsychicAccess.com, and I've had a great week there this week. It's been busy. Lots of new clients as well, which is always fantastic. So I work directly with spirit. I have used tarot cards and crystals in the past, and I do use them occasionally when I feel inclined to do so, but normally I just tune into spirit and seek guidance and evidence of the afterlife from our loved ones in the spirit world. So that's how I work. I'm very excited about the show this evening. Remote viewing is a subject that I'm absolutely fascinated by, and that noise was my cat breaking my So, very excited about the show and very happy to be here.
Great. We're glad to have you. And Jackie Hahn. How are you tonight, Jackie?
Wonderful, Laura. Thank you for asking.
Sure. Why don't you tell us a bit about what you do?
Oh, absolutely. My name is Jackie, obviously, and I'm a angel therapy practitioner. And what that means is that my readings incorporate the energy of the angels, in essence. So I bring through them and bring to you messages that are really, you know, they're so multi-leveled and multi-dimensional. I'm really more about empowering people to help them kind of see what's going on in their life, and then at the same time bringing through guidance to be able to move through, you know, the obstacles that are in the way. So I bring up what needs to be healed and let go of, and then give them really kind of practical guidance to take it to the next level. So I really feel very passionate about that, because I'm really have a strong desire to make a difference in the world with one person at a time. So And I'm also on Psychic Access. I am the Wise One. So if anybody wants to look me up, and I always have the chat rooms open most evenings. So we have a lot of fun. I have people coming in, and it's all good. And it's all good. So, and I'm excited to be here. I haven't heard Gerald because I'm kind of new a couple months now, but, definitely looking forward to this, this topic on remote viewing and remote influencing. So, I'll stop talking so we can get going.
Thank you. I'm excited. You're going to love Gerald. He's really awesome. And I'm Laura. I use the Native American medicine and the Sacred Path cards, and I use them as a portal and pathway into clairvoyance and my various intuitive gifts to speak with your guides and spirit to bring in information that any information that applies to any area of your life, and that might be work, relationships, finances, and any other area of interest. This higher guidance helps to empower and balance you so that you can have the clarity that you need to make good decisions that impact your life and those of your loved ones. So that's what I do. And so you have with the four of us, you have a host of gifted people from different perspectives, and it makes it for a very interesting reading when you get us all four at the end of the show, which will be coming up. We're all on psychicaccess.com as well, and we welcome you to come in and join us for a reading. Tonight, I'm delighted to interview our special guest, Gerald O'Donnell. Gerald holds a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics, a Master of Science in Computer Science, and a Master of Business, an MBA. He is a certified hypnotherapist. He was once considered one of the world's seven best top technical commodities experts. Gerald was approached in the 1980s by a Western European intelligence agency in order to join an ongoing program of mental remote viewing, which really involves sensing, of targeted locations. Advanced remote sensing or remote intuition techniques were taught to field operatives, anti-terrorist units, and other intelligence and or commando squads. It is in the course of the successful experimental phase of the program that Gerald stumbled upon the fact that by using special mental techniques and training, not only was space bridged instantly, as a non-locality theorem of quantum physics, the theorem of John Bell, had predicted, and the aspect experiment performed in 1982 had confirmed, but that the time barrier was also conquered, allowing oneself to experience a perceived past and the probable future. Gerald subsequently voluntarily retired from the intelligence community and decided to teach similar techniques for the greatest benefit of all, the creation of better individual and global realities for all of us and the possible avoidance of unpleasant ones. So these techniques through remote viewing and remote influencing help us as individuals, which help us as a global family. In 1997, Gerald started to divulge information and train tens of thousands of individuals in the technology of remote viewing through his website, www.probablefuture.com. In it, he teaches one to reach the very deep theta level of mind with full awareness. Since then, he introduced the mind technology and phraseology of remote influencing in the year 2000 and started teaching the art of manifestation of realities using the ultimate power of the deeply energized portal of consciousness, the delta level of brain functions with full awareness. His ultimate goal is to allow for mankind to deprogram itself from old deleterious mind programs and help usher a new type of mankind united around the unity point, original source itself, or creator. To find out more about Gerald O'Donnell, remote viewing, and remote influencing, please be sure to visit www.probablefuture.com. Can you conceive of viewing anything in the past or the future? What would you do if you could? Would you enhance your life by knowing what was around the corner, make better choices for your future, improve relationships, investment and business opportunities, prevent health issues, and learn to listen to your inner guidance to protect and assist you for your greatest and highest good? For those of others, remote viewing is a way to access this information through developing your connection to source. Remote influencing will assist you to enter into a meditative state while remaining aware. While doing this, it's possible to access future probabilities and choose the ones that will improve your life and those around you. By connecting to Source in this way, you'll remain peaceful, yet present, energized, happy, harmonious, and passionate about your life. You'll experience unlimited possibilities. Tonight, we'll find out more about the energies that are rampant on Earth today and how we can use remote viewing and remote influencing to create positive energy for ourselves, others, and the Earth. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce a call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our show on Paranormal Duel with Kim and Eric Reisinger last week, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible, so be sure to include others in our show. We welcome everyone. I'm also really excited to announce that we are now simultaneously broadcasting the show on People's TV Network. And with that, I would like to welcome Gerald O'Donnell to the show. It's an honor to have you with us again tonight, Gerald. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. It's an honor to be with you.
Aw, same here. The first thing I'd like to ask is, can you explain what remote viewing is?
Okay, remote viewing is the ability that is inherent in each being to connect through mind to different points of the global mind, which means the mind of the Creator. And through that act, you can connect across time, what we perceive as time, and across space.
Okay, so how do your techniques differ from military techniques for teaching remote viewing?
Well, that is a very broad question, because there are as many different... first of all, most of the remote viewing techniques that people speak of were not military techniques, they were more like intelligence techniques. And there are a great number of different protocols that were used across the globe, and they are somehow different. Some are revealed, some are not revealed, some are ongoing, some are more efficient than others, some apply to different results. So you have to understand that you do what you need to do in order to achieve the results that you're looking for.
Okay.
So if you're in the military field, you most probably are not going to have a spiritual approach to doing what you need to do. It's more of an efficient cold approach, if I could call it such. If you're in the intelligence field, which is interesting as a name anyway, because we call it intelligence, which shows that human intelligence usually collects information from other sources in order to process it. If you're in the intelligence field, then you have to connect to different, so to speak, intelligences, different areas of the intelligence of mankind in order to collect information and then process it. But there's always a processing element that comes in, which has to do with your own ability and your own capacity to analyze facts and then draw conclusions based on that.
Okay, so what is remote influencing then?
Okay, now I coined the term remote influencing because in reality I don't believe anything is remote.
Okay.
That's a misnomer. So when you what happens is that when people do what some people call psychic work, they realize that in reality there is no time and there is no space. That's
true.
Thought. Exactly, for thought itself. All you need to do is connect to a different point of thought, and that connection is instantaneous, and then you then sense, as you've made that connection, what happens at the level of that other point of thought. So, remote influencing would be the ability to influence another point of thought, another being, or another situation, which in your perception would be remote, but in reality, in order to achieve that particular act or achieve that influence, you need to not see it as being remote, seeing yourself as being there. In other words, you bring everything to the now. So if you want to affect something that you think is going to happen in the future, you have to bring it back to the sense of being here and in the now.
Right. So what is the common basis then for both remote viewing and remote influencing, apart from bringing them both in the now? The way I understand it, it's the basis of oneness, correct?
Yeah. The only way you can achieve a creative act is by connecting to a reality in your own mind. You can do it across, you know, what you think is the external world, the phenomenal world, because the phenomenal world is what is projected out from within you and you think exists outside of you. But if you do it from inside of you and you learn how to be introspective and operate within you, you can connect in your own mind to a place which you then will then manifest, will then evolve in the way by which you would like it to evolve. At least you hope so, in the external manifested world.
Yeah, actually, I'm starting to experience some interesting things myself with regard to that. How is remote influencing being distorted right now?
It's being distorted because it's not understood. First of all, it's not understood and it's exploited. Because what you will have is a lot of people will come with techniques that have to do with more imposition than influencing. You see, and I'm coming here now from a spiritual perspective. On a spiritual level, man has free will to act and man has free will to influence, but man has no free will to impose. On the higher levels, you know, beings are connected to higher levels of light. Never impose. We think they do, but they don't. It's a no-no, because you're infringing upon someone's free will. But influencing is okay. It's like having a discussion with someone and trying to put across your point of view and your statement and your view, hoping that the other will achieve that, and will accept it and will act accordingly. So therefore, that is okay, but in the imposition of reality, if you want the in the old magical style, you know, the old what people used to call
yes.
white or black magic,
yes.
or white or black witchcraft,
yes, like the love potions,
that is not something
and making...
which is spiritual. Okay, it's spiritually okay, and that has been brought up now to the surface in many many so to speak modernized versions of these very old. Manifestation of the mind, the low mind of man, and that is causing problems across the spectrum, because it's not what we, at least that's not what we here in the academy are trying to bring about.
Right, exactly. I do have a question from our chat room, if you don't mind, Gerald. There's a lady there who would like to, she's asking if you would elaborate on creating or seeing a reality or a place in one's mind before it manifests tangibly. Like, how do you do that, I guess, is what she's asking for.
Well, there are many ways of there are many ways of doing it. You know, some people are more visual than others, but it's not so much the visual ability to see a situation happening. It's your ability to live it, to sense it, to be in it.
Yes.
And, to believe in it. It's really faith. You know, that's really faith. We always talk about faith and faith and faith. It's not only faith in the Creator. It's a faith that you are part of the Creator. And as you are being part of this gigantic mind, you can therefore influence much more than you're aware of, because you are part of that mind. And you can connect to other parts of the mind, but that's a leap in faith. But when you start to have faith across the board, if you want, and then you see a reality happening, because this is really what you are. You know, you don't manifest so much what you desire, you manifest what you are.
Correct. Actually, I'm having my own experiences with that. I agree with you. The other night I had a situation, and I meditated, asked for a solution. And the thing is, like you say, that leap of faith is absolutely necessary. I knew that if I asked for it, it would come. I would get my answer, and sure enough, the next day, it all came together. It's just knowing that the universe works to do that. All you have to do is ask.
Well, first of all, that's a very good point. Yeah, most people don't even ask. I mean, that is the most incredible thing. It's like having children never asking their parents for anything. You have to ask in order to receive. They don't, you know, there is a rule also, and I'm going to, and this is very important to understand. What we call the higher so-called spiritual world are really the deeper subconscious world within yourself that give them the ability for us to perceive reality in the way by which we perceive it. If not for them, none of what we think is the 3D world would exist. So they are operating very, very deeply within ourselves, our common self, all of us. And in order for us to be able to manifest something across the board, we have to ask. And that's a rule for them. We have to ask whatever reality, whatever influence we want from them, which is in reality what we would like to project to happen. And most people forget to do that. So they're complaining, or they're waiting for something to happen, but they're not defining what they want to happen. And very often that lack of awareness of the power that they have within is what causes them to be feeble and then weak and weaklings. There are a lot of groups, there are a lot of belief systems that tell you that you don't have that power, that you're not allowed to use it, that you, in reality, these are the groups who want to keep power over you,
and
they want to keep human enslaved in this particular lower condition, which we have been, you know, undergoing for eons almost.
Yes, I found the same thing, and through my cultural indoctrination and things of that nature, you know, where no matter what you do, you're indoctrinated into believing there's a source outside of yourself, separate from yourself. And I am finally really getting that that's not the case. And so I'm able to do, I feel more empowered today than I ever did before. And I find that what you're saying is absolutely true, or it's been my experience anyway.
The outside of yourself, it's a source. A source needs to flow into something. So if the source flows into you, how can it be outside of yourself? In other words, all sources have to flow into you. There's a connection. If there is no connection, you wouldn't exist. So, of course, it's within yourself. Everybody has connection to source.
Exactly. What information have you received using these techniques to find out what's happening with the energies on Earth at this time?
Confusion.
Confusion, a lot of confusion, polarization,
yeah. What is really happening is that we are at the end of a cycle, you know, and I've talked about this on our writings on the website. By the way, I can give the name of the website you gave it before. It's probablefuture.com. We've talked about the fact that creation has expanded in the illusion of the three-dimensional world and separation as far as it can go. In other words, it cannot continue for much longer in the illusion of time that we have. Because if it does, especially with the tools that we have at our hands now, this creation will not be able to continue. So there is and this is not only for this creation, there are many other creations. Because in the same way as we are separated from each other here, one human from another human in perception, or one race from another race, or one religion from another religion, and all of these form groupings, each creation, and there are other parallel creations that operate at different frequency levels, are also in their perception separated from each other, and they're all ruled by their own subconscious higher realms, if you want, the sub-creator, what I call the sub-creators. And there is a tremendous separation between all the creations too. That separation has gone as far as it can go. So there is a need to bring back, if you want, the children. It's called a gathering. You know, you have to gather the children across the board so that they, instead of looking outside of themselves into more separation, they start looking back into the flow, where the flow is coming from, which is source. They make a turnaround. Now, that we're not going to go back to source overnight. This is going to take, in our perception, thousands of years. But this particular moment is where, if you want, the heart of creation has expanded as far as it can go, and it needs to contract again. We all operate within the heart of the One.
That's so this is the toughest moment that we're in at this point, right?
Correct. It's the toughest moment. So what you have right now is that the structures and the orientation of all these structures has been towards the outside and towards more, you know, separation, more control, more expansion. You know, the tentacles that go further and further, and that's the orientation that has been going on until now. And those structures have a very hard time, even though they realize that they're failing. I mean, everybody across the board, I don't care what structure you look at, if it's economical, physical, scientific, spiritual, so forth, they're all failing right now. They just don't have answers anymore, because the levels of what they perceive as a crisis is so gigantic that the answers are not even forthcoming. They're not even there. So they are trying with very old systems or old tools that don't even belong to the present now to solve this, what we at our level perceive as a global gigantic crisis. And it's failing, but they are fighting for their belief systems, whatever belief system that is. It doesn't have to be spiritual. I mean, belief systems. And in that act, those forces are trying to keep their flocks, if you want, you know, the flock under control, because they're the biggest fear is to lose control over the flock. Because if you lose control over the flock, the structure collapses on its own. There is no structure. It needs the flock to believe in it so that it can continue spreading out and doing the same movement. No matter what they do, it's not going to work, and they know it. But they don't have the answer, because many of them still are refusing to look inward and starting looking back into the source and into the perception that we are all one.
So rather than coming together, like, I don't know, I remember when I was younger, when things went bad, people really unified. Are you finding that today people are not unifying?
Yeah.
They're tending to compete or fight or react that way in fear?
Yes. If you look at, for instance, the crisis in the 30s or the 20s across the world, in the last century, there was a reaction when humanity would face a certain crisis to unify, you know, across a family, across a village, across a city, across a nation. That particular desire to feel, and that used to be a natural instinct to feel warmth in the company of others, even if the others were, so to speak, suffering similar events to yours, has been somehow lost for now, okay? And it is because somehow we have disconnected from having real contact amongst ourselves. You know, I operate through the internet. In other words, I operate through what we perceive as an element that's been introduced only 20 years ago. To us, even less than 20 years ago. And this so-called technology, which has spread around, has somehow separated humans from humans. In other words, there are barriers now where you don't talk to a human being anymore as much as you used to, even though you have access to more human beings. but you go through an encoding of your message and a decoding of your message through digital media. So we have to be very careful not to lose the contact, the physical and the consciousness contact across. Because if we lose this, we're all going to get swallowed by a sense of tremendous loneliness, and the energy is going to be, you know, sucked out of ourselves, which is already happening.
Right. So let me ask you this then. I know you're saying that we've expanded out as far as we can go, so this is kind of like
Hello?
The calm before the storm. And
Hello?
People are trying to rebuild on old foundations
Hello?
That are actually dissolving. And they're not really getting... Hello, Gerald. I'm sorry, I got disconnected. I didn't even say anything bad, but, you know, hey, they got to pick on somebody, right?
Right.
I think you get a bunch of psychics and
too much
listeners
energy.
That are interested in psychic work and spirituality, and I'm expert in remote viewing, and you get funky energy.
That's it.
Technically.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. I'm used to it already, yeah.
All right. Gerald,
that, yeah.
We do have a question. I'm sorry. I've got a little bit of lag, so I apologize if I'm interrupting you. We do have a question about how do you foresee, not foresee, but with what you're talking about, how we manifest and how we manifest as a human family and how we can manifest things in a good way. How would political structures respond to that, possibly, so that we can take care of the global economic crisis or, you know, any other type of crisis that we're going through, environmental and so forth?
Yeah, it's an interesting and an important question. I, you know, if you imagine creation as being a pyramid, where you have, so to speak, leadership on top, which calls itself more aware, more creative, and then you have lower elements in numbers that are in the bottom. Nevertheless, within our systems, we do elect, or we do choose somehow the elect ones that will be given the task of. Leading us and helping us across this very difficult time, correct?
Yes.
So I think that the problem we are having right now is that most people are looking at the mirror, and because of their fear, which they're rightfully feeling, they are looking at leadership that will reflect the same type of fear, and will concentrate on the fear element and will exploit that. And it's an interesting and dangerous way of choosing your leadership, because if your leadership is based on fear and caters to your fears instead of based on hope and a vision not of today, but even of the near and distant future, and it totally focus on that and able to have that vision and hold it, and you do give to that leadership all the support it needs, because we are undergoing a period of what you could call of darkness, because it's a period where I have to make that shift. We will find ourselves with people who are self-serving, who are exploiting the fear, and that go down to the level of the lowest common denominator instead of us rising up to the highest possible potential we could achieve. And this is where we have a problem in creation right now. We have leadership that seems to focus on the lowest common denominator, because by the rules of electoral processes, you need quantity of people in order to get to where you are at. And in that process, you don't necessarily get the right type of leadership coming and having a very long-term vision. let's not even talk about the fact that there are there's very little, so to speak, time for a leader to do anything and achieve anything, because most of the time he's busy trying to get elected or trying to get reelected. So there are a lot of structural problems. There's very little visionaries or real, all type of leaders that are coming across, and then have the guts, because it takes a lot of guts to tell the people what the situation is like and recognize the fact that they don't have solutions right now and they are looking for solutions. Because they're all coming and telling you, we have solutions. They don't have solutions. Because the solutions are deep within themselves. The leaders have to go deep within themselves and connect a higher level of intelligence, and especially higher level of not consciousness, but conscience. There's a difference between consciousness and conscience.
What's the
consciousness,
difference?
Everything is consciousness. You know, an ant has consciousness, a rock has consciousness, and an electron has consciousness. Consciousness is the ability to self-reflect and become aware of your reality.
Gerald, this is Steve. I'm really interested by what you were saying, because I always remember I always worked in corporations, and now I work for myself as a psychic medium. And I always used to think in corporations, when you look at planning and you look at budgeting, it's always very short term, because you're constantly trying to satisfy the short term demands for a return of the stock market.
Correct.
And it's almost as though what you describe politically is similar. You know, we put presidents in place for a few years. The prime minister in the UK is in place for 4 years, and the government is. And it's just too short term to actually solve the magnitude of problems that we're facing right now.
Yes, I agree with you. And it's I wasn't even talking about political. I'm talking, as a matter of fact, yes, I'm talking about corporations. I'm talking about visions for countries, visions for the world, visions for the future of the planet, as far as the ecological situation, which is getting worse by the day. And all these require long-term visions that they have to be held in place, and then there have to be groups that really operate in trying to get visions and then go within and get the solutions that will then allow us to survive these very difficult moments. But since, as you say, most people that then end up being in the leadership position are just not realizing that they are part of a whole, and their life is just a little step in this gigantic whole, they tend to focus on themselves, even though they're leaders, more than the reality of the whole and the continuation of this whole into the so-called future. Because they're not holding the vision. The vision is lacking.
Right. Gerald, you're in the middle of talking about the difference between consciousness and conscience. You describe consciousness. What is conscience?
All right. I'd like to achieve this. Consciousness is the ability to self-reflect thought into a mirror of reality. In other words, if you just be thought, imagine being thought, pure thought, but there is nothing for you to reflect your thought upon. You have no mirror of reality to reflect your thought upon. You have no reality. You can't look at yourself. You cannot look at you have no support for your thought. You're just thinking, but there's nothing to think about. You follow what I'm saying? You would not have consciousness. The moment creation starts operating, every element of creation is consciousness. All of them. Down to the level of an atom. There is consciousness, meaning that there is an awareness of what you are, what your task is to do, and how you operate within the reality that's projected to you. So, of course, an ant will have a vibratory reality as opposed to a so-called visual reality to us, but it has consciousness. A human has consciousness. A dog and a cat have consciousness. What's the difference between the divine, if you want, and the created, what I call the inverted world, is that consciousness is part of us, of the created world. It's also part of the higher world that we originate from. But conscience, in other words, the innate ability to know right from wrong, is part of the divine, but not part of the inverted world that is the created world.
Yes.
You follow me?
Yes.
In other words, when you look at the story of mankind, and I'm not going to go into necessarily biblical stories, but the fact that there is a need to tell them, don't do this, do that, you know, don't kill, don't take someone else's wife, and so forth, is a testimony to the very low level of conscience that we had, and as a matter of fact, we still have today. So our challenge is not to become more having a higher consciousness so much, or more intelligence, or more technical prowess. As a matter of fact, that's a danger, because when you achieve higher technical prowess, but you don't have conscience that goes up with it at the same time, you may self-destruct, because you have tools that allow you to self-destruct. This is the quagmire of humanity right now. So conscience, if you want, eating of the tree of good and evil, if you want. When Adam
yes.
comes in and starts eating of the tree of good and evil, it's a training process to allow him to develop conscience, not consciousness, conscience, to become like the divine, to have this innate knowing what is right and what is wrong. When humans will reach that, especially leaders will reach this innate knowing of what's right from what is wrong, the world will be solved, because you will not have leadership that will be corrupted or will let, you know, do things that they shouldn't be doing, because it will be totally against their innate nature. They couldn't do it. They wouldn't consider doing the things that they're doing right now, because that would be totally against the nature of their being. And you wouldn't have to tell them, do this or don't do that. And if you don't, you know, if you do this, then you might be potentially punished by some divine force. Because that is only a development of conscience that we are in the process of doing. This whole creation is in order to take beings that have consciousness and teach them conscience, and allow them to become higher beings with a higher conscience. And when they get to that level of conscience, then they can become alike the divine, and then they can start creating incredible things. So this is where the focus has to be now, is on conscience. Now, it's not something you can impose on people. You can't impose that. It has to come from within. But you have to choose people that have an innate sense of conscience. And that's where
right.
the masses should be looking for, you know, at all levels. If you want a CEO, look for someone who has an innate, who is higher on the scale of conscience, not consciousness or intelligence or power or connection. That's irrelevant, because that's
right.
what creation needs now, is conscience.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said that, because people often respond to me like I'm a nutcase, because that's pretty much how I operate. And most people don't. They want to look for the most intelligent, the one with most money, or whatever it is. So I'm really glad you said that. Can you talk to us about how, as you say, people are reacting with fear due to the old systems breaking down and them trying to maintain them and not lose them? And how we can use remote viewing and remote influencing to get through these times, to process the fear. Because as I understand it, the most important thing is not, it's natural to feel fear, it's how we process it that makes the difference. So how can we use these techniques to get through these times and process the fear appropriately, so that we don't do damage, we actually add and contribute and make things flow in a more positive direction?
Right. You know, we started doing a course called Remote Viewing, and then we did the second course, which is called Remote Influencing. In reality, there are one is step one and the other one is step two, but in reality, the core of it is to allow any human, because they all have that source in them, to connect within themselves, what we call the inner kingdom, to that source, to be able to
right.
connect to that source. It doesn't mean that the source is going to be talking to them with a loud screaming voice every morning, because in reality, that is this what is called the small, still voice inside of you. It's very, very, very still and very quiet. It is really the voice of high intuition, not low-level intuition, but high-level intuition. That is the voice of conscience. It's like in the story of Pinocchio, that is your cricket, you know, that at first he's on the outside until he finally gets that level of conscience and becomes a real boy. Right now, we're still puppets.
Right.
You understand? We're still being manipulated because we have not developed into real beings, high divine beings. We're not there yet. But we're being challenged with different situations until we show that we have developed that consciousness, and then we're going to be real boys. We're still in the infancy, if you want, of this creation. Of creation.
Well, correct. So, and I want to talk to you about that. How can we recognize that these forces that were counter to a higher light, because they're pretty smart and they work under the guise of helping others. So, you know, how do we really reach true enlightenment, and how do these counter forces come to us under the guise of enlightenment? I would like you to kind of educate us on that so we can recognize and discern.
Because without making a judgment on others, if you do not feel that you are evolving on within yourself into a higher conscious being, you understand? And you rely on the so-called consciousness, or so to speak, quote-unquote powers of another individual who is in reality sucking your energy and living off your energy and showing those powers because he has become a center of focus. And that can be a being that can be manifest as a human being that people, you know, sit around and listen to, or it could be a so to speak, being that's not manifest, but has a name attached to it that people think is a great being that they have to, you know, look up to or pray to or whatever that is. If you do this, you're giving away your power. Because you're not here to give your power away to any other being. You're here to evolve on your own, because it's a solitary evolution to evolve on your own into a higher level of conscious. You have to look at yourself. You have to study yourself, not others. You have to study yourself and see if you, as you're connecting inside to the divine straight, and you're bypassing all the intermediary steps, because you're going deeply within your inner subconscious and you're starting to connect, whether you are evolving into a being of higher conscience naturally. And then when you do evolve, beings that don't have that, it doesn't matter how they project themselves to you as being gurus or high evolved being, or you can read through them. You see through them in a second, because they either they are vibrating at this high frequency of being, or they're not. You feel that. You won't
Correct.
Be fooled anymore.
So really, well, darker forces
will
tend to...
And you will not accept to be fooled, because you understand that that's not what you came here for. You came here to become a conscious divine being, a real boy, if you want. You know, you came here to become a mirror image of the divine.
Right, so what you're saying is we can reach higher levels. We need to be very discerning, not look for the quick fix, that we have to be disciplined and do the work, because that's what it takes to grow. There's no quick fix. Just do the work and we get there, basically. And a lot of people are selling quick fixes, or they act as gurus, and that's not really, that's disempowering. And that's what I read you as saying.
Mm-hmm.
And
also,
is that correct?
You have to be very careful. You know, this is the era what in the old times used to call the false prophets.
Yes.
You know, they call them you know, teachers and whatever, all kind of names for them. But you have to be very careful as to not to follow someone and give him, empowering him with your power, with your light, with when he's not empowering you. If that individual is empowering you and is gifting you unconditionally his love in order for you to be raised up, then it's fine. Then you can listen to the message. Don't empower the individual. Listen to the message of the individual. Because what's important is the message. that if you, yes, that individual is asking for attention, whether it be a star in a movie star or a rock star or I don't care what it is, or a politician or a spiritual leader, then you are in the process of gifting your gift of life to this level of energy, and he's basically exploiting you.
Exactly. So, you know, I hate to do this because I love talking to you. I feel like I can go another 3 hours. We're going to have to wrap up the show. And there's one last question I have for you because I feel it's really important. It's something you and I spoke about. And I would like our listeners to have it before they go. It's simple, but it's so important. What is the attitude we need to have to process the fear that so many feel right now?
To accept it.
To accept and to have gratitude for what we have?
Yeah, you have to, first of all, accept that it's a natural reaction to be afraid of the unknown. Not to be paralyzed by fear. You know, I always give this example of crossing the street. If you take someone that comes from the Amazon jungle and you put him in New York City and he has to cross the street, he'll be in a state of total panic and paralyzed. He won't be able to cross the street even once because, seeing all those cars and trucks going by is incredibly challenging to him, and he won't be able to do it. When we cross, we don't even look at this almost. We look at the other side of the street because that's where we focus on. We know that across, you know, if you just evade these mechanical devices, you'll be across the street, and that's all you want to get to. So basically, I'm saying, be aware that these are difficult times because of what they are. Be aware that they're going to be obstacles, but be aware on the other side of the street or the other side of the river, there is a beautiful shore, and then that's what you focus on. So keep your focus there, and just avoid that. You know, and accept the fact that this is what it is right now. But always focus on the other side, and the other side is divine love. The other side is unity. The other side is beauty, and the other side is incredible. So we have to keep that focus constantly in our minds, because if we don't, and we'll stay paralyzed and we won't achieve anything. And then it gets really serious.
Thank you so much. So with remote viewing and remote influencing techniques, we can do that. We can train ourselves.
When you do the remote viewing and remote influencing techniques, you will have the intuition to tell you how to avoid all the obstacles, first of all. And then you will have the focus deep within you to focus on that divine spark that will then allow you to be able to manifest your crossing that river, that street or river, easily and, well, relatively easily, but with peace and not with, you know, a sense of panic.
Excellent. Gerald, thank you again so very much for joining us. I have a great deal of respect for your knowledge, and I appreciate you sharing your important message and insights with us tonight. Thank you again for being
thank
with
you,
us.
Laura.
Bless you so much.
You too. As always, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night, Gerald.
Good night. Good night.
Good night. You can find Gerald O'Donnell's information at www.probablefuture.com and on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Do want to let you know that I do own his remote viewing and remote influencing techniques. They are awesome, and as you can tell, he's an awesome man, so I recommend them highly. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Please be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com, our site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. You'll get tons and tons of information that will help you along in understanding the psychic world and many answers to life's questions. If you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, please be sure to visit psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about each one of us and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many of these gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me personally and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working with Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a credible and reputable psychic site with high standards of integrity. So our reputation as psychics is very safe with psychicaccess.com. You'll find all the co-hosts here on the Psychic View are on Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more details, please be sure to visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic View. There's something for everybody here, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. We want to give you the call-in number for readings at the end of the show. That'll be in about 20 minutes or so, but please take this number down. It's 724-444-4851. Hello, Jackie. How are you?
Hey, Alora, how are you? Wonderful.
Wasn't Gerald wonderful?
Wow, I don't know if I can wrap my brain around that. I think I have a mental block. It was amazing, everything he was sharing, and I need to listen to the archives myself.
I know. You'll have to listen to it a number of times. He's very, very deep, and he speaks from a very high level of understanding, and that's what I love about him. He's just always, there's so much substance in everything that he has to say. But you had some interesting information for us as well. I wanted to ask you, are remote viewing and telepathy the same thing as far as you're concerned?
You know, I believe it is. You know, just from my perspective, you know, kind of, you know, we are all connected. We are all part of this mass consciousness on some level. So being able to communicate with people, you know, I'm not familiar with the remote viewing per se, but I do understand the concept. But I also understand the concept of, you know, telepathy, you know, being able to communicate with someone. But no, actually, so remote viewing would be, you know, project or being in another place that you've never been before and being able to observe it. This just is from my understanding. But I guess with being, telepathic is having somebody on the other end and being able to communicate that way. So in essence, I feel it's similar. It's about connecting, but I'm also feeling that it's a different kind of connecting.
Right. Yeah, I understand what you mean because there are overlapping similarities, but they're kind of different.
Exactly.
Different senses. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
I do too. I think it's amazing, and it's actually something I've been wanting to develop in myself as well, actually. So I was really intrigued by the question and also the topic tonight. So, yeah, and I think anybody, you know, just again, it's where you're at and, you know, where you are in your journey and if, you know, being spiritually in tune is something that you're drawn to, but it's a great tool. It's a great way to raise your level of consciousness, you know.
Right. You know what I found, and I'll share this with you, and I'm going to ask Steve about his experiences as well in a moment. What I found is in using Gerald's remote viewing techniques, between that and being so connected and very privileged to have been shared, to have shared with Native people their native philosophy of on spirituality. In other words, that spirituality is manifest on Earth, everywhere, all around us. It's not out there somewhere in the sky. Between those two things, there's almost I've internalized things to the point to where I now get there's like a shortcut to just asking and knowing that it's going to manifest, that it is manifest, period, the end. You just ask and it will be, because life is meant to be prosperous, and you are, it's not like it's meant to be hard. It is. It just is, and it will work accordingly. It's so neat. I don't know if I'm explaining that very well, but.
Oh, no, you are. And what you are saying is that, you know, I think with these different techniques, and there's so much out there for people to help understand themselves and be able to, you know, like you said, enjoy life and make things more simple. I think with repetition, as we continue to practice, these different techniques, that, like you're saying, in an instant, it's like, bam, there it is, you know, and that raises our level of evolvement, you know, and then we go on to the next one. Like, okay, now what else is there? What's next on my journey here? So,
yeah, so that when bumps in the road come into your life, you realize that they don't need to be earth shattering. It's just how you handle it will determine the outcome. In other words, that if you understand that the outcome will be good, if you ask for the solution and open yourself up to how spirit brings it into your life, you might get a phone call, you might run into this person, you might, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It just happens that way. And
or does
that,
it just happen?
Yeah, that it's really simple. Steve, have you ever tried remote viewing?
I haven't got a straightforward answer to that question tonight, Laura. I mean to say that. And I'll explain why, because I know I submitted the question, so it's not that I'm surprised by the question. I'm very, very interested in remote viewing, and I a few years ago started to read a lot about remote viewing in the military, and just because of that research and that reading, I always associate the term remote viewing with the military. So I always associate remote viewing with espionage and military practice, but I know that it has a much broader application. And I was absolutely fascinated by Gerald, and what an amazing man. And I have to say, I need to listen to that show a number of times to really absorb everything that he was saying, because he just shares such a depth of knowledge, such profound insight that they really require, it really requires reflection. But to answer your question, I've read about it a lot. I can't say that I've practiced remote viewing as a specific discipline, because I know that it is a very specific discipline. You follow a very specific procedure and protocol in order to do what we describe as remote viewing. But I have had a lot of experiences giving readings, and going right back to childhood when I started to work with spirit, in effect. So often when I give a reading, I can see around the client's home. Also, spirit will, not in an intrusive way, spirit will, for example, say, this client has 7 books on her bedstand, and they're stacked very untidily, and there's a portrait above the bed, and there are pink roses in the bathroom. So spirit show what's happening, or certain circumstances in the home, in order to provide evidence that they're close, that they are with us, that they see what's happening in our lives, that they understand what's occurring. So I often have that experience, and people in spirit often will show images of the home that they lived in and of their belongings, again, in order to provide evidence to the client that they are, that it's them, that they're sharing information that the medium or the psychic just couldn't know. So I've experienced viewing things remotely in that way during readings, but as I said, I can't say that it's exactly what we describe as remote viewing, because I know that remote viewing is a very specific protocol. Does that answer the question?
Yes, it does. And actually, you know, when Gerald first came on and I asked him to describe how his techniques differ from the military, he gave a really good answer, and basically it boils down to, it depends on what you're using it for. Military intelligence, to gather intelligence information, is one way to use it, but that's not how he uses it. He uses it to help us connect with Source, to be able to better our lives, better our world, and, you know, help humanity as well as ourselves individually. So the purpose is different. Depending on the purpose, you may have a different protocol. Do you know what I mean? Or a different way of reaching that state, which involves different levels of consciousness. Yeah, so I think, I think that's cool. I like what you have to say. Maureen, would you talk to us about the type of training you've had in remote viewing?
Yes, as a matter of fact, because it's become a real issue with a lot of people. The reason why I want to, I'm just going to say it both at the same time. A lot of psychics, whatever, and I'm putting everybody down here, but they talk about how the remote viewers, I've been seeing that a lot more lately. I don't know what you guys have seen lately, but haven't you noticed everybody's a remote viewer now?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, okay, well, to me, I did it for a whole year. I did some training. It was over the internet with a very reputable person, but it was interesting. It was with Child Finders, the same people. I work with Child Finders.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so it was very interesting because we were very committed, but it was about a year long, and it was like a form of meditation, and we did was we would just jot, we had certain ways of answering certain type of, like, does it feel moist or fluffy or that kind of thing. And it would that's how we did it, if you follow me. It was a little bit different. It wasn't like a person, but like he would have the Eiffel Tower would be the target, which we didn't know. Then we'd say what it felt like. It was, you know, cold and metal. And it really was an interesting way of doing it, because it was called the way he, it was, well, anyway, that's how I, so yeah, I have to say, well, I'm a remote viewer, but I do have training in it. But I kind of think it's gotten a little bit out of hand with everybody saying, I'm a remote viewer. I think it's just become a real lovely wording, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just a little bit bothered by that. But yes, I have training in it, but it was, it's very nice, actually.
It was a good experience.
Absolutely, yes. And I did well.
Excellent. I believe that.
Yeah. So there you have it.
Well, tell me about how you feel about psychics who say they're remote viewers without any training. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think people can be remote viewers without training, or do you feel some of them are just claiming it without, like, they've had remote viewing training when they really haven't? How do you feel about that?
You know, I feel sometimes they may not even know. I'm not saying this for any, please don't get me wrong, but a lot of people, I think, are throwing that out there for their background. I don't think they even know what remote viewing might be.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's been coming out lately, and, you know, it's been around forever.
Right. They just might be using the term without really knowing
The term is becoming very popular. I mean, you know, I've noticed it more, I guess, is why. Everybody now is getting wind of it.
Right. No, I understand. You know, Jackie, I wanted to ask you, do you feel we can get answers to any questions that we might have through remote viewing?
That's a good question. You know, and understanding, I guess, it depends. And, you know, going back to what Jarl was saying about, you know, the intention and the remote viewing as the source, you know, part of connecting with the source. You know, from that perspective, which I actually didn't see it that way, but now that I look at it that way, I believe absolutely. I mean, you know, the source within us and being able to tap into that part, you know, the answers are within. You know, everything is within. It's just getting to it, you know, and clearing out some of these stuff and lifetimes worth of things that we unfortunately carry around, and stuff that we're taken on through, you know, through childhood and things, other beliefs and all that kind of stuff. So I do believe it's there. It's always there. It's just that we don't recognize it, you know, or we doubt it. Oh, I'm just making that up. Or, you know, we criticize information that we receive because we're not sure. And I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I personally was not supported growing up, you know, with this kind of work. You know, it was just like, oh, well, you're making it up. That's no big deal.
Right. You know? And I'm just like, it's not well accepted in mainstream. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. You have to really learn to trust yourself and know it's real, you know, and that's the cool thing. Once you accept that, it's amazing what you can do, not only for yourself, but in your life. With that, we're just going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have a word from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com.
Every Tuesday night, check out Miami Town Ghost Talk on the People's TV Network and ASPRN.com at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Miami Town Ghost Talk is hosted by Mike and Jeff, the authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, and the co-founders of Miami Town Ghost Tours. Miami Town Ghost Talk will delve into all aspects of the paranormal, from cryptozoology, UFOs, to ghosts and spirits, talking to authors, investigators, and so much more. So be sure to check out Miami Town Ghost Talk every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com and PeoplesTVNetwork.com at BTN Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are talking about remote viewing and remote influencing. And Steve, I want to ask you, what is the most interesting case of military remote viewing you know of?
The case that I've read quite a lot about and that's probably most widely recognized is Project Stargate. So Project Stargate was a military remote viewing project in the States. And I know that from different sources and, you know, different books and different contacts that military organizations all over the world use remote viewing. It's not just something that's undertaken in the US. But Project Stargate's a fascinating project to read about. And remote viewers involved in Project Stargate had some really accurate hits. So they there was one project, for example, when they're involved in attempting to locate Colonel Gaddafi just before the 1986 bombing of Libya. And I think that they did actually get the right target. They bombed the right target, but he wasn't actually injured. And there was another really amazing story, a psychic assignment, again, Project Stargate, revealed the location of Brigadier General James L. Dozier, who was kidnapped in 1981 by the Red Brigade, in the Communist Red Brigade in Italy, and remote viewers actually identified where he was being held. And I think he was actually being held above a store in a camping tent in a room, and the remote viewers actually saw that much detail. So he was actually identified and found in Padua, Italy. And there are lots of other stories about remote viewing in the military, but it's absolutely fascinating.
It is. Actually, I remember hearing that same story when the general was kidnapped and they were trying to locate him to see how many people were guarding him and, you know, get information to get him out of there. So that was really fascinating to me. I also heard that for military purposes, remote viewing might have been, or they might have made efforts to use it to actually take people's lives in the dream state. So I haven't seen the movie Inception, but let's just put it this way. I don't think it's too far from what's possible or what may be experimented with. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's incredible. It's incredible. And I think that some of the, you know, remember as well that the internet was developed by the military originally, and as a new form of communication. And I'm pretty convinced from people that I've been speaking to that there are all kinds of just mind-blowing advances in communication, and I think that telepathy and some of the things that we talk about on the Psychic View are tools and techniques deployed by many different organizations. I've got a number of clients that are very senior in big corporations that call asking for insights about meetings that they're going to, about colleagues that they're working with, strategy and things like that. This is very common, actually.
Right. I think, and I just want to make it clear, I certainly don't agree going into dream state and taking people's lives, but I was just communicating the fact that remote viewing techniques, from what I understand, have been that they made efforts to use it for those purposes by, from what I understand, the military and so forth. So my last question, Steve, which I want to ask before we get to our callers, is remote viewing prominent in countries outside of the United States? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I was speaking to somebody very well informed last week, and this person was saying to me that it's very common, and there's a lot more going on than remote viewing. I read a while ago that one of the reasons we became so interested in remote viewing in the States, or I shouldn't say we because I wasn't here at the time, but I was in Britain. We've always had a relatively good relationship, close connection. one of the reasons that the US became so interested in remote viewing during the Cold War was because the Russians were doing it, and we knew that the Russians were doing it and doing it very well. We talked a little while ago in a show about Nina Kulagina, the telekinetic.
Yes.
Who was scooped up by the KGB and doing all kinds of things for the KGB. There's a brilliant documentary that I watched a while ago, just on YouTube, and it's also on TV from time to time, about the Russians, and particularly during the Cold War, that they were sending electromagnetic waves at the U.S. embassy in Moscow, and there was a really high incidence of cancer and all kinds of illnesses in the American embassy. So there are all kinds of tools and techniques that the military regimes around the world are using. There's a very interesting book as well called Men Who Stare at Goats. Not sure I buy or agree with everything in there, but there's some very interesting information in that book about the military.
That's interesting. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
I would like to remind our listeners that the call-in number for readings is 724-444-4851. And with that, I'd like to begin speaking with our callers. We have a caller from California. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I've got to let you know, this is my first time listening to you.
Well, welcome.
So I'm kind of excited. Yeah, I've listened to the show so far, and I think this sounds, this is really right up my alley. I'm really excited. I have a question. My husband recently, after 23 years at the same job, I'm sure you've heard this before, he was let go. And he was laid off in January. And he's an educated man. He's got a background in chemical engineering. He continued to progress at this company, and he made it to senior level global management. So, you know, we saw this as an opportunity. From the very beginning, we said, let's just change. Let's set up the second half of our lives. We're in our 40s. And we're coming from San Diego, but we've always, every vacation, we've wanted to go up to the Pacific Northwest. It's always like pulled our spirits up there. And we've been up there so many times. So a really thriving area is the Seattle area, Washington. We love that whole, it feels so good to be up there. He's applied two times, made it to like the number three position, and then dropped off of the list. And, I don't want to give up hope. I'm still, really trying to, we haven't gotten despair yet. We haven't gotten into that mindset. I'm really trying to. But I don't want to be so narrow-minded that that's the only place that I'll look. My question is, and he's in the food industry, where would you, if with our spirits liking that kind of an environment, where could you see us also looking?
Okay, may I ask your name?
My name's Michelle.
Michelle, thank you, Michelle.
Yeah. His name is Troy.
Troy. Great. Steve, would you like to talk to Michelle?
Absolutely. Thank you. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hello. Well,
hi.
I've asked my guides for you, Michelle. And well, before I give you the very quick answer to your question, according to what my guides are saying very clearly, I just want to say a couple things to you. I always, as a child, was drawn to East Tennessee, and even in my teens, I would look at the map of the U.S. and
right.
didn't really know the geography of the U.S. very well because I was in the U.K. But energetically, I was drawn to the east of Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
and I had a number of readings from some a very good palmist who's actually now pastor spirit. And he told me that I would live in the east of Tennessee. So it was this real draw for me and a real excitement about this part of the world.
Uh-huh.
And about 3 years ago, the company I was working for at that time offered me a choice of locations in the States, and one of them was Knoxville, Tennessee. And
right.
I took it because energetically it just felt so right. Now,
right.
when you talk about Washington State, I hear the clarity and the enthusiasm in your voice that I recognize. And
yeah.
I want to, you know, you're considering, you keep an open mind always.
Right.
We always do that. I mean, I'm not sure I'll stay where I am forever. I'm open to where spirit want me to be and want me to do my work. But that said, you really should trust your very strong instinct. That
mm-hmm.
part of the world, the Northwest, is a wonderful part of the world for you and particularly your husband to be in. Your husband energetically needs to be, I'm not sure exactly where you are now, but he needs to be in a much calmer environment,
right.
much more closely connected with nature, and it feels like a wonderful
yeah.
place. All the signs there for you are wonderful, and I'll tell you specifically the answer that my guides give you in about location. They're very, very clear. They say Portland.
You're wonderful. Yeah, wonderful.
Okay.
That's a gorgeous area. I would
yeah.
go there.
And, and just remember as well that just as evidence when it happens, the
yes.
19th, the
uh-huh.
19th day of the month
mm-hmm.
will be very exciting and very significant. It will be a date that you will always celebrate. And I would not be at all surprised if you actually either moved up there or moved into your new home on the 19th of the month, and because
well,
Spirit gave
fun.
Me that number very clearly. I wish you lots of luck.
Well, thank you so much. I really thank you. God bless you.
You too.
We have. Thank you, Steve. Jackie also has something to share with you, Michelle, about your question.
Okay.
Hi, Michelle. One of the things I was also getting for you, and I can relate and to what Steve was saying, is just the energy of your voice and the enthusiasm mm-hmm. of your excitement about this is manifesting at its best. You know, it's that energy of creating, you know, by being in that place. So what I wanted to share with you, Michelle, is that don't lose sight of that. Aside from any of these kind of concerns and worries and things that are kind of quote unquote out of your reach, because if you're guided to go there, you know, it's about trusting yourself and really staying in touch with that part of yourself, because it absolutely is going to happen. I don't see anything getting in the way, except for maybe just getting a little sidetracked with worry, and that's it. And that's a
and
big
really
thing
on top
for
of that.
Us. What's that?
Thank you. I'm really trying to stay on top of that. I mean, you know, I won't even give it like even a second chance. If my mind goes down that way, I just, you know, I grab hold of it, and we don't go that way.
All right,
so,
perfect. You just keep doing that, and there's nothing that would really get in the way.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Actually, Steve, go ahead and mention what you wanted to add, because I think that's important.
Okay, thank you. One thing I forgot to say that my guides were talking about was that your husband will take a very good opportunity in Washington State, but he won't do that for more than 2 years because he's supposed to be a writer.
That's funny. I'm the writer.
And will be, and will be a writer. Yeah.
I've been asking him to join me. That's funny. Wonderful. Good to know.
We hope that helps, Michelle. Good luck with that.
That was confirmation. Thank you very much. God bless.
Same to you.
Bye-bye.
We have a caller from Washington. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome. What is your name?
My name is Christina Teisinger.
Pardon? Can you repeat your name again? I'm sorry.
Christina Teisinger.
Christina. Thank you, Christina. What is your question?
Well, I'm 18, and I'm just, like, kind of beginning my life and all that. And I really just want to know, like, what am I going to do as my career in life? What's going to make me happy? That's, like, my biggest question. I can't figure it out.
Okay.
I have something for her. For Christine. Christine? No, Christine. Well, Christine?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Christine.
Thanks.
Christine, thanks, Maureen. Yeah.
Okay. If you don't mind, I'll just go for it. Christina, you know, I get a feeling that you have a really good... I know you mentioned your age, which is a nice age, younger age than me. But anyway, it looks like you are in a really good spot. If you haven't already, I would get involved in some type of school. It doesn't have to be conventional schooling, because you're at a good place right now where you're able to take in so much knowledge like a sponge, Bob. You know, like you can absorb something. So if you... I just see you being a student. I see you being that of a student. Like I said, it doesn't mean conventionally speaking, but I don't know if you have... It's really positive. You're going through a spiritual death, which is a very good thing. It's not physical. You're heading that way, and so there's going to be a new beginning around the energy around you, but anything to do with learning of any kind of knowledge, I already see you kind of involved in that. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's very, Christina, thank you, Julie. It's very positive. Are you involved in any type of, have you applied or yourself, are you involved in any type of?
Yeah, I applied today. Yeah, I'm going to go
applied?
To college soon. I'm going to start doing that.
It's going to be fantastic. You're going to really, it'll come, you know, sometimes you always see some things come easy for some. It's not about that. This is your time. The timing is really good. And it's really, you're really, it's just, it's wonderful. And it is, and you've gone through a lot of internal, I feel the pain. It's been very difficult for many years when you were younger and now, but you're going to be able to begin almost like to come up and begin new after going through it, and your wounds will heal and you'll, it will be difficult, but everything's going to be, you're going to be feeling a lot more like you're in your true self, your new skin. It's very good. There you have it.
Excellent. Thank you, Maureen.
You're
How
welcome.
About you, Steve? Thank you.
Well, my guides talk very much about travel, and they say that there's a lot of travel in your future. Do you have a very strong urge to travel the world?
Yeah, that's been my dream since I was a little girl.
Yeah, because you really will travel a lot. Now, you in about 4 years, you will actually work in the travel industry, and I see you doing a lot of air travel, and visiting. Many, many different locations around the world. You won't do that for a long, long time. You will always travel. But I see you traveling very intensively for that period of time. And then after that time, I see you working with children and teaching. But there's something very interesting about your teaching, because it's not just... It's not regular teaching. There's some kind of... humanitarian element to your teaching. Does that make sense?
Could you explain a little bit more?
Yeah, I see you having, well, my guide say that you have this real desire to travel. You have this real need to spread your wings and see the world. And you'll do that in about 4 years, you'll be working in travel, in the travel industry. You'll do about 4 or 5 years of global travel, and you'll have a great time. You'll meet all kinds of people. You'll see all kinds of wonderful places. And it will really just open your eyes up to so much, and it will give you a very strong appetite to pursue a humanitarian cause, so to help make the world a better place and solve some of the problems that we face and that Gerald was talking about with such passion in his talk. And so there's teaching for you, but it's not. My guides say it's not conventional classroom teaching. It's teaching to raise awareness of humanitarian awareness and awareness of relating to our need to really help children around the world, and to particularly help make sure that they have food, make sure that they have an education, that they have the opportunities to actually engage in life and themselves solve some of the problems that we face. And you'll find that this real urge to pursue a humanitarian path comes up very strongly once you've done a lot of your global travel.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Christine. The call in number for your free reading is 724-444-4855. That's 724-444-4851. We have another caller from Toronto. Welcome.
Hi there. Hi, everyone.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
How are good. You guys What's your doing? Name?
Okay, my name is Conchata. I had called on I had spoken with Steve actually on Saturday with Maureen. And he had mentioned a couple of initials to look into, and I looked into them, and they didn't come out to be, one of them wasn't the initial D as around my mom's grandfather's, and it turned out that my mom's grandfather's were Lorenzo and Vito. So I'm just wondering if those initials still mean something, or if there's something else that the person that had come into our reading, Alvita, if she had other signs that she's around me, because I can't find... those initials or names, even Margarita was mentioned as a sister's name. Nobody has any idea what that name, where that name came from.
What were the initials that you were given?
The initial was D, around my mom's grandfather's, and the other name was Margarita.
D and Margarita, okay.
Yeah.
This is Jackie. Hi. I feel like you're wanting to ask Steve, and Steve, I don't want to take away from any messages you may have, but one of the things I'm getting for you is that you're actually being guided to start communicating with your family that has passed. So in other words, there's this desire, to receive confirmation and acknowledgement. Like, I feel like you're somebody who kind of hears and senses things. Like, you have this awareness of people that have crossed. And now there's this part of you that's trying to understand it. And I feel like, you know, you resonate with Steve and his teachings. But I don't even know what your question is, but I do feel like I want to share that with you, that there's something that you're going to be opening up to. Like, there's a part of you that would be very gifted in this area if this is something that you choose to do. I feel like you have a very strong connection. You kind of see things, you sense things, and you're very much in touch with that, if that hasn't been shown to you already. So I just wanted to jump in and share that with you.
Yeah, thank you. I sort of take signs from the universe, like, just if I'm having a bad day or whatever, I just little things that I see around me or whatever, I sort of just take signs like, oh, you know, it means that everything's going to be fine, or, you know, that make me smile, or just to get me through the day. And I feel like they're signs from the universe.
Yeah, because you have such a wonderful energy. There's this very pure, wholesome energy about you, and it's very open and receptive, you know, and that way of being is so beautiful. I really feel like those who have the opportunity to be around you are very blessed, because you just show up and it's like everybody's happy, you know, it's just the way you are. So it's certainly, a place for, you know, wherever you choose to go, that, you know, you're going to be successful no matter what. I just really feel strongly about that, because your core, you know, the essence of who you are is very pure. I feel like you're very much in touch with, you know, the part of yourself, you know, the spiritual part of yourself.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And for Steve, of course, you were very spot on about my physical description. That's why I'm sort of wondering where those initials might have come from, or if maybe it was somebody else that had come into the reading.
Well, no, Conchetta, to be quite honest with you, Conchetta, I always trust absolutely what my guides give me.
Okay.
You know, when I first started doing professional readings years ago, I used to cogitate, in effect. So you sense the messages from spirit, and you sense information like the words and names, initials, numbers, dates or months, things like that, and you then start to think about it, and that's where we go wrong when we give readings, because we as psychics or as mediums, we're not really supposed to be thinking. We're simply passing on the information that we receive from spirit. So I trust implicitly what my spirit guides tell me. And I've had many clients in the past say, oh, you know, this name didn't make sense in my reading. I'm not sure what that means. And then had them come back in 2-3 years and say, that's the name of the person that I married, or that's the name of my now mother-in-law. So it's not an excuse. I stand absolutely by the information that spirit provide, and it doesn't all make sense straight away, but you'll find that it does in time. Keep the information, because the spirit never let us down, and the information that they give us always fits into the picture. You know, the timing is difficult, so it's sometimes very difficult to say this is exactly, you know, so you might in a reading, for example, very clearly hear that September will be a month that's celebrated forevermore, but it's not always possible to say, and the celebration will begin in 2013. You know, we're not given the complete picture, because sometimes we're not meant to have the complete picture.
Right.
And to be honest, you know, based upon what Jackie was just saying, you are very intuitive, and you think a lot, which is great. You're a really intelligent girl, but learn to trust your intuition as well. Learn to trust that when you sense something, although it might not make complete sense at the time, it will. If you're tuning into spirit genuinely, then what information they provide will make sense at some point.
Okay, no problem. Thank you so much for clarifying. I just wanted to clarify.
You're welcome. Thank you, Steve. That
Thank
was good. That's
so
good
much.
Information to give
Steve,
people.
Your reading was amazing on Saturday. You're just awesome. Thank you so much, everybody. Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Jackie,
thanks for
calling
in. Good for you.
You're welcome. New York, we welcome you. We have a caller from New York on the line. How are you tonight?
Well, you're actually live from the UK. It's Katie Lester from Power Knockout Radio on PTN. I just wanted to say I'd like to ask you a massive question. And the question is...
Sure.
Things have gone wrong with the family regarding health-wise. But is life going to be a little bit easier? Whether it's safe, for example, in the next 5 months? What's your guys say?
Well, do you mind if I ask your name?
Yes, my name's Katie Lester.
Katie, thank you. We'll look into that.
I'm not, this is Steve. I just want to say, I'm not sure I understand. I didn't understand the question. So I'm happy to ask for insight. But I didn't quite digest the question.
All right, I just got a question. You know, we've had a little bit of, you know, problems within the family, health-wise.
Okay.
I was just wondering if life's going to be a little bit easier within the next maybe 5 or 4 months from now.
Okay, so there have been some health problems in the family, and you want to know if it's going to get easier in the next 5 to 12 months.
Yeah.
Okay, are we talking about a lady in the first instance?
Well, both, actually.
Both.
Pardon?
Sorry, I didn't understand your response. Are we talking about a lady in the first instance?
There's two of them, actually.
Okay, that makes sense, because my guides are talking about a lady, and that they're saying, you know, that the concern is around they're showing female rather than male, so they're tuning into the situation, and they give the month of March, actually, and they say that the month of March is very significant to one or both of these ladies that they're referring to. Does that make sense to you?
You're right on the mark there, my love.
Yeah, because they're very, very clear that March is very, very significant. And I want to give you good news. It won't take 5 months for things to pick up. Things will pick up in 2 to 3 months, very significantly, for the lady that first started to have health issues, and the lady that started to have the health issues shortly afterwards, and it wasn't long after the other lady, she will really start to pick up as well, because these two ladies are energetically, they really bounce off each other. So when one of them in life is down, the other one feels down. When one of them picks up, the other one picks up, and you'll find that the solution is together. And you can tell these two ladies that they will travel next July. There is travel to the Mediterranean in July next year for both of them, and they can't imagine how good they will feel by that time, but they will.
Oh, thank you very much. That's really reassuring. I just want to say, March, you're well on the mark there, my love.
Good. Well, thank you. Wish you lots of love, and I'll be thinking of them and sending them healing. And but I feel my guides are very clear that it will work out fine.
Well, you're actually speaking about me and my mother, and I just want to say you're right about March. That's when I have my operation. It's on the 19th.
Yeah, and you will be fine. So start to think about where you'll go together in July. Because you will, and things will be very different by then. You'll just feel much, much, but much differently. The outlook will be good.
I also get, Katie, that you have a high probability of a good outcome here. Just keep the faith.
I will. Thanks, my love, and take care, and and you rock, by the way. Awesome show. Maureen, guys, love you. Peace all. Bye.
Thanks, Katie. And we have our last caller from Indiana. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
What's your name?
Michelle.
Giselle?
Michelle.
Michelle.
Oh, Michelle. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. What is your question?
I am just wanting to know if I'm ever going to move from where I'm living now and how soon, if possible.
Okay.
Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
This is Jackie. I'm going to just share a little bit about what I'm bringing, what I'm receiving for you. I'm not getting a move in the very immediate future, and that doesn't mean it's not possible sometime next year, but I'm not sensing it's going to happen in the next 6 months. And, you know, Michelle, excuse me, one of the reasons that it's this stagnant energy. I'm just feeling there's this stuckness, like you need to kind of let go of some things, and the place that you're in, as uncomfortable and as, pardon my French, crappy as it seems, it's actually something that's being presented to you at this point in your life as a way to, you know, to help you to let go. There's on so many different levels, the environment that you're in. I feel like the situation around you completely, like I feel like you've been in this funk lately where things are just, you know, like enough already. Like I just need some change. I'm ready to make some changes. However, there's still this other part of you that jumps in and squashes that idea. So there's this conflict that's going on. And one of the ways that you can work through that is try to find a sense of peace and harmony within yourself and within your environment, because I just feel like it's about shifting this energy. I'm seeing this vision of, you know, very hazy, cloudy environment, and what that means to me is that there's a lot of stuff that's getting in the way that, you know, you need to kind of work through. And unfortunately, I feel like it's a lot of inner stuff. So by, you know, releasing anything, any kind of negativity, any thoughts that are coming in, any self-sabotaging beliefs, you know, one of the things you can do is write these things down just to get them out of your head. Because I feel like you're in your head a lot, and it's just like replaying the same old stuff like over and over and over, you know, like a record. But the most important thing for you is, I guess, a couple things is just noticing that, you know, letting this go, finding a way to create some sort of uplifting environment that you're in now, because what that will do is really shift things around, so then you'll feel better. It's about raising your energy. I just feel like you're in this kind of gloomy place lately, Michelle, and I want to be able to just help you kind of rise above that, which you will do. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I just feel like it's been a tough time for you recently. So
I also want to say, Michelle, that I get the same thing, that it's really important to let go and let God, really truly know that things are going to work in your favor, but try to nurture yourself, to give you reasons to uplift yourself, and to know that rather than push and really you know, pressure that, I almost feel like the way I sense it is like there's this real desire that you want to push for. Rather than push it, just accept where it's at for the time being. Know that it will change. Let go and let God, and let things happen at the right time. And they will. Okay?
Yeah.
I have something. I'm sorry, Laura, if I interrupted you. But
sure, no, go ahead.
Catch me if you can. Michelle, hi, Michelle. You know, you know what, Michelle? It's interesting. Jackie brought something up, and I was picking up a little bit something interesting about that. But what I was getting is you've done a lot of preparation in the recent past, and you've made some good changes, like working on yourself and working out there and building things. And even, you know, you're doing a radio show now, and I think it's lovely. You've committed to it. It just started, and it's a good thing. But I also feel that Jackie brought up a point about how you need to take care of yourself. And I do see in the next 2 months, after the first of the year, a little bit like in February, it's going to be all about renewed. You're going to feel renewed inside, like your batteries have been recharged. And there's going to be a lot of good opportunities, but you need to use discretion in all your dealings. But it is going to feel like you're coming out of a sense of convalescence or depression kind of type of deal. But there's a lot of good things coming your way, and you've already set the groundwork but you've already put it into action. I don't think you're sitting around, you know, hanging out, being. There's a lot of good things ahead of you. This is just this will be in the past soon. And one of your children is having some issues right now too, and I can see as special, and just maybe pay a lot of attention to him. It might help you feel. I don't know. Sometimes that kind of helps the parent feel something as well. The dreams, and there's psychic feelings. There's a young child. It looks like a boy. But there's a lot of good stuff coming your way, and you're just getting through the part that you're just getting renewed batteries, and pretty soon it'll all feel better. I hope
okay,
you followed
you
me
say
on
about
that.
What did you say about my son? I didn't catch that.
Oh, about your son? Do you have a son? Well, it looks like a son. I could be wrong because it's a girl, but a son. It looks like their dreams, they're having a hard time with their sensitivity. One of them, I'm not, just very intuitive, and no one's understanding this, and you need, it's really important that this child doesn't get misunderstood because they're very special. What happens is it worries me because these children are so sensitive and they don't get what they need from the adults, like compassion or whatever, attention, you know, for being who they are. They can get depressed and withdraw.
Okay.
You two could really, you remind me of each other, like when you were younger. You two, one of your children, you know, it's not that they're your favorite or anything. You're just very, there's a parallel with you two, it looks like to me.
Okay.
If you can relate to that. I hope that helps you. But
good
you're,
deal.
Yeah, you're going, you're heading on, you're moving on. You're doing good. You're going to do good. It's hard. So.
Okay.
And you deserve Michelle. Michelle's a lovely woman. So there you have it. I do declare, Michelle.
I do declare. Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Michelle, for calling. And you're sweet. Anybody else?
Thank you, Maureen. Anybody else before we come to the end of our show?
I just wanted to say that the things that I was sensing exactly what you guys were picking up on. So I concur, or my guides concur, and I'm particularly about not rushing and, you know, not running away, just taking time and moving forward when it feels really right and it feels like a real positive step forward rather than moving away from issues that need to be handled now. But very positive future, very good outlook in the longer term. It's wonderful.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you, Michelle. Best of luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. And that brings us to the end of yet another great show. I wish to thank my co-host and our executive producer, Doug, for being so supportive. Let me know when to speak, when to shut up, when to move forward. He's so good. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve. Steve, what can we look forward to next week?
You can look forward to a show anchored by me, but far more importantly, I'm very excited. This week's show was great, and our recent shows have been really enjoyable. I've been listening to them and just learning so much as I listen back to our guests. But next week we've got Pamela Heath, and she is absolutely fascinating. This is a lady that has a degree in psychology, a PhD in parapsychology. She's a psychic medium. She's very, very well qualified. She was actually chief of anesthesia in a large hospital and director of education in an anesthesia surgery faculty in Orlando Regional Medical Center, as well as many other things, too many to say, which is absolutely fascinating. The show is going to be about the afterlife, so we'll be talking about the afterlife in detail. And Paola's written a number of books, one of which I'm reading at the moment, A Handbook to the Afterlife, and her research and knowledge is also based upon a review of evidence and insight from over 200 mediums in the past. So it's going to be a wonderful show. Very excited.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. Maureen, good night. Thank you for being with us, for sharing with us.
Thank you, and good night, and have a pleasant good morning.
Coming up soon.
Good night. Yes, good night, everybody. Bless your heart.
Jackie, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. I enjoy everybody here, and it's a lot of fun, so we have some good times.
Definitely. Steve, we look forward to your show next week.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being with us tonight. And for everyone out there. Thank you. For everyone out there, if you'd like to have a reading by any one of us, please be sure to visit us at www.psychicaccess.com. Thank you for being with us tonight. We look forward to having you with us again next week. God bless to everyone, and have a great week.